The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for July 31st. July 31st, the last day of July. We're going into August. More than half the year is over. It's really sad that everything's still kind of shut down or slowly opening. But hey, holidays today real quick. It's Mutts Day, National Avocado Day, and National Watermelon Day. And if you can combine avocados and watermelons into something edible, power to you. Birthdays today, former ECW TV and WWE Cruiserweight, former TNA X Division and NWA Tag Team Champs with Dallas, who was known, you might know him better as Lance Archer now, Kid Cash is 52 today. Yes, he did all that, believe it or not. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Stone's Delight, Empire Calvary. 1 week from today, you can join us at Salvatore's at the garage door for UFC 265. That's right, August 7th. Write it down in your calendar. Prelims start at 8. Pay-per-view starts at 10. And as always, no cover charge. We'll be there too, so come hang out with us. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate? Rocksteady Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. And join Rocksteady Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. They are starting to practice, so it's the world is starting up a bit. Welcome to the Pain Clinic. It's the only pro wrestling talk show on Fox Sports 1280. And we've got everybody here today. I'm super excited. I see four smiling faces from all over the place. We'll start at the top left. I would introduce you to Furby. He's from Hilton. What's up, Furbs?
Good morning, everybody.
He's back.
Glad to be back.
He's back. He survived the Matt Cardona beer can throwing incidents.
I was running all over the ring, pretty excited, had a blast.
You were involved in the match?
Not in the match.
You said in the ring, so I assumed.
I said around the ring.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you were just dodging like Bud Light and whatever they were chucking at you? Because we'll talk about that a little bit later. We're also joined by Danger Boy, who's from Gates, New York. Danger, how's it going today?
It's going good. It's I wish it was a little warmer. It's, you know, end of July. It's going out like October, but otherwise doing well.
Yeah, I saw 50s this morning. That's scary. I'm not a big fan of 50s in July. Below Danger, we haven't talked to him in a while. DC Dan Cole, how you doing, DC? How's North Carolina?
Good morning, gentlemen. Send some of that 50 degrees down here anytime you're ready.
Well, you know I'm coming in a couple weeks.
We've had a string of like several 90-plus just walking through pea soup outside days, so 50 degrees sounds lovely.
I'll change my plans to go visit if it's going to be 90. And joined by the only guy who joined me last week, it's Rob Sanderson, the artiste. It was the Artiste and Cash show last week. Now it's everybody. How you doing this morning, Mr. Sanderson? Yeah, now you're unmuted. Well, we're not hearing you, buddy. We're still not hearing Mr. Rob Sanders. Yeah, it sounds like I hear something. We'll figure that out in a second. So, hey, welcome to the show today, guys. We've got a lot of things to talk about. I keep hearing noise, so I think you are producing some sort of sound there, Rob.
I think I'm here.
There you are.
I don't know.
There we go.
We'll see if that stays.
You there.
Yeah, good morning. I am not going to complain about this weather at all. Similar to Dan, after living in the Mexican border for 2 years. Anything that's not Rochester crazy winter and not crazy heat, I'm a huge fan of at this point. So this is great. Got the window open, little breeze.
Yeah. It's great sleeping weather, that's for sure. I want to let people know they can call in if they have a comment or a question, 222-1280. And if you're shy, you can text us. I've got the texter thing up right now, so I can read those texts. If they're funny, I'll read them. You know, but if you have questions, we'll also read them too. But we got to talk about a lot of things going on this weekend. You know, there's so many different things to talk about. I'm going to go around you guys and you tell me what you think is the most important topic on the list of topics today to talk about. DC, what should we talk about?
I mean, man, why you got to start with me? Because like I've missed out on like all the big stuff. The last 4 weeks I haven't been here.
No, that's true. That's true. I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
I mean, I'll be honest. All my attention is kind of focused on what AEW is doing.
Okay.
I've reached the point in my life where I realized that I'll watch like WWE events, but basic programming isn't exactly for me right now.
Okay. So you got to vote for AEW. There's an AEW topic on this list that I do want to get to. How about you, Rob?
Well, there's several, and one's WWE related, but I didn't want to start off with the negativity.
Okay.
I wanted to try to keep a positive frame.
True. Artiste, what would you like to start talking about? Oh, your mic's gone again.
I got all my WWE positivity out of the way last week on the show.
Yeah, you guys missed it. We talked about how good Money in the Bank was, you know? I mean, that was amazing. Yeah.
We tore apart Raw, but yeah.
Yeah, we did tear apart Raw, though, the following night in front of a crowd, yes.
I will agree that I thought AEW was really, really good this week and would like to talk about that, but honestly, it's going all the way back to last Saturday, what was already mentioned in Cardona and Gage was the biggest thing for me this week, and Celebrity Family Feud. But I thought those would be the highlights of the week, and they were.
Okay, Ferbs, you up next.
Yeah, I mean, I got to stick with the GCW Matt Cardona train here. Cardona versus Nick Gage, that was probably top five wrestling moment of all time.
I saw a couple tweets, and one tweet from someone in particular said that they actually ordered GCW because we were talking about it last week. So where's our cut? Danger, what do you think?
I'm not a huge fan of what happened at GCW, so I'm gonna not talk about that, and I'm gonna go with the United Center selling 12,000 tickets in a day. What is going to be CM Punk's return? Because if it's not, AEW will never sell another ticket in Chicago.
Yeah, you guys weren't here when that's what D'Artista and I were talking about last week, was just all the rumors and everything. Let's start off a little AEW talk. Why not? Before we have to go to break. And I want to start off, okay, listen. Last week's AEW was a good show. It was definitely something interesting. And if you never have seen Gage before, you got to see him on a national platform wrestling Chris Jericho. And what you saw was an atypical match of his, I would say. I mean, would I be wrong by saying that, pizza cutters, large fluorescent bulbs, chairs, tables, everything, those all come into play in any one of his matches, right? Am I wrong? No, we got a lot of shaking heads.
That's certainly what Nick Gage's go-to, as well as Doors. But Jericho, not used to that. Gage was a little toned down for TV, especially early in the match.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
I think he got a little bit more comfortable, I guess I would say, it seemed. But it wasn't – it ended up being more brutal than I expected. But it was still, not the same level as what many saw with Cardona and Cage last Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I as far as Jericho's concerned, I didn't expect it to get that bloody. I thought it was going to be dumbed down, kind of like how it was in the beginning of the match. But then they kind of got into their groove, and I mean, there's a reason why Nick Gage is the death match king. I mean, he's the best at it. He's very safe with it too. I mean, not trying to break kayfabe here or anything, but you can see he's a man of his craft and he knows what he's doing.
I mean, he breaks a bulb and then he uses his hand at the end of the bulb to rough up someone's forehead. Obviously, if he was really using the bulb, there would be skin flying everywhere. I mean, but This is the biggest audience that's ever seen him in a live event, I'm guessing. They drew a million past week, over a million. This is like the fourth straight week or third or fourth straight week they've drawn over a million, which is just mind-numbing, but which is good, great, I mean. And
huge exposure for GCW with the whole week. I mean, starting with Homecoming and then their man being on AEW, that's huge for an independent promotion.
Yeah, and listen, and maybe Nick Gage isn't always someone's taste, okay? Listen, some people, but he is if you're talking hardcore wrestling, this is a guy who you have to bring up. Got an opportunity to showcase what he does in front of the world. And I just found it, okay, listen, it was a great show overall. There's a lot of great matches, there's a lot of fun. It was nice, it's nice to be back in front of a crowd again. They had a nice loud crowd there in North Carolina. DC, you didn't go, right? Right? I'm guessing you were going to, but you didn't go, right?
I did not, given my hectic schedule the previous couple weeks. Sure. I was kind of looking forward to not doing much this week.
Gotcha. So
but, any other time I would have been there.
Well, they looked like everyone's having a blast. I didn't see a lot of masks, but I will say that the one thing that's just I know dumbfounded me, and you guys have already seen my messages on it and everything, but when Nick Gage is taking the pizza cutter to Jericho's head, they go picture in picture, and the Domino's ad is running at the same time where they're cutting a pizza with a pizza cutter. I'm absolutely like losing my mind going, who is the genius at AEW who like knew it was time to run those Domino ads right when he was getting the pizza cut? And I mean, it was a close up too. They turn around and it was on the other side of the ring when it started, but the cameraman switched sides, got over there, and he's, just going to town on Jericho's forehead with it. And it's like, and then you realize later that Domino's wasn't really too happy about that at all. They were definitely, they pulled all their advertising from AEW because of that. But I mean, is it a fluke or it's like, I mean, to me, I was just like, just absolutely in the zone when I saw that. I'm just like, just die. And I was doing something completely different too at the time. So I was like, but I just zoomed in on it and it's like, just, I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Whether it was intentional or not, Domino's needs to kind of pump the brakes, because when's the last time anybody talked this much about Domino's?
Agreed. And there's so many like brands out there that have latched on that see that if they play it cool with wrestling fans, the wrestling fans will buy in and love them. We've seen, I don't want to give tons of free advertising, whatever, but we've seen that with PBR and Arby's and a bunch of other stuff out there where they latch on and people like that, or even like a Wendy's Twitter that just goes out and makes fun of people and stuff, roasts people, and like that kind of stuff draws attention. If you want people to buy your pizzas, I mean, I don't know, I'd choose something else locally, like a Salvatore's. But
oh yeah, without a doubt. But it's just one of those weird coincidences that happened.
Yeah,
And
they're not a sponsor of ours, are they?
No, Domino's. No.
Just, well, good, then we can just be blunt here. They're a last resort pizza. I'm sorry, yeah. they're last resort.
I'll take it over Papa John's, which doesn't even exist in Rochester anymore. So we can say that too.
The only Papa John's. The only issue, and Nick Gage is not my cup of tea. I've made that known before, but my only issue with the whole thing, and it has nothing to do with that match at all, other than the fact that that was pain, the labor of pain or whatever, number two for Jericho. How do you escalate that when the next match is he has to win with a top rope move? That's going backwards in my book. This should have been number five if they did it that way.
I totally agree with where you're going with that. I think there had to be somebody that made the thought process of there's going to be a ton of exposure because of the Cardona match. Why don't we do this kind of around, like bookend it there around the same time to get that attention? I agree with you on that. I also don't know if it needed to be the main event. I know that this is a huge storyline, which honestly, I hate to say this, but as many cool things as they're doing, I don't need Jericho and MJF to still be feuding like another year from now. I think after this next month, we're going to have enough of it. But it's still, I would have had the 10-man tag as the main event. That was the huge storyline with the surprise finish.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously the incredible entrances started off the show.
Definitely.
Which was cool. But to me, that was really the main event of the night.
No, nobody kicks out of the one-winged angel. Okay. I'm just saying. And we hear that from everybody, and it's the case to this day. So until that happens, that will be the rule. Okay. I agree. And it's like, quickly before we're going to go to break here, but Furby, talk a little bit about the Cardona Gage thing, because people, if you're not, you know, we've got a lot of WWE fans and we haven't even talked about WWE yet, but we've got a lot coming up, including the next segment. I want to talk about Vince being very dismissive of AEW. But Ferbs, you were down there in New Jersey last weekend. You were there at the match. Matt Cardona, who we know as, what was his name again, WWE?
Zack Ryder.
Matt Cardona, who wrestles for Impact Wrestling now with his girlfriend / soon-to-be wife, took on Nick Gage in a match in which nobody thought he had a chance. And what happened, Ferbs?
Yeah, so to keep it brief, it all started organically through Twitter fans. They went at it. Cardona challenged Gage. Gage called out Cardona back early June. Cardona showed up. They set up this great match. Biggest thing on the indie scene that I've seen probably in professional wrestling over the last 6 months. Cardona went in, got the crap beat out of him, bloody, but he took home the GCW championship from Nick Gage, and then bottles were everywhere.
Yeah, it was like the NWO happened again with they're throwing beer bottles, they're throwing everything they can throw in the ring, and it's just, you gotta see the pictures. He's like wading through stuff to move around the ring. Probably kind of dangerous.
Watching that stream live, I have to say it was the best crowd in wrestling easily, I would say, since One Night Stand with Cena and RVD. I didn't take my eyes off the TV for a second during that match. Like, it was electric. So I'm also not a huge deathmatch guy, but I absolutely loved that. There was so much heat, there was so much excitement the whole time. There were swerves. It was really well done.
Yeah, I was never into deathmatch wrestling until last year when I went to Homecoming, and now I'm addicted to it. I'm not saying it's my favorite, but it's got an aurora about it. And I'm sure if you watched, you probably saw me on Fight TV. But it was a heck of a match. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember I asked you if you'd wear your Pain Clinic shirt, and maybe it's better you didn't, since everybody was throwing stuff at you, too.
Well, you wouldn't want me to wear my Pain Clinic shirt Saturday.
While they're pelting you with bottles and stuff. On that note, we're going to go to break. We got a lot of things to talk about, and you can give us a call, 222-1280. I saw the phone ringing a minute ago, didn't get to it in time. If you want to give us a try, try again. Commercial break's the best time to call, but you can also send us text 222-1280 as well, and we'll read your text if you have a great question or not. Got a lot of things to talk about. Still to go. Still to come. We're going to talk a little bit about Vince. And I've really been upset with how Keith Lee's been used since he brought back, and maybe we'll talk about that too as well. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. And, of course, you know the Pain Clinic is always brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. We're going to be out next Saturday night at Salvatore's at the Garage Door for UFC 265. Come join us. Pay-per-view starts at 10. There's never a cover charge. And I'll annoy you between all the fights on the microphone, telling bad jokes and whatnot, you know, and great specials as well as all sorts of things. So come on out and join us. It'll be a lot of fun probably next. Probably. I know it will be for me next Saturday. That's right, Saturday, August 7th. Welcome back to the show. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Rob Sanderson, the Artiste, Furby, and Danger Boy, and you. And, you know, we didn't really talk about much else happened on AEW, but we will get to talk about, you know, I wanted to bring up, too, a little bit about Aleister Black, or Malachi Black, whatever they're calling him now, and what's going on with him And it seems like the only time that we see him and Cody Rhodes is like Cody's doing commentary and they fight by the commentary crew. But eventually it's going to lead to something. Is this a great introduction for Malakai Black or Aleister Black to coming to AEW? It seems like a lot of people are being introduced as well, because we also have Andrade as well. So what do you guys think about how that's going with Malakai Black there?
Well, he's got the match with Cody this Wednesday as they go back to Jacksonville already. So, I mean, I think that'll be a big deal. It'll probably be the next person for Cody to try to put over early on in their AEW run. I'm really curious to see where this goes. I think with him, there's a lot of hype because you can tell how creative he is, and the fact that he's going to have full say in everything he's doing is going to make it awesome, I think, compared to maybe pitching things when he was in WWE, but they really more so tell him what to do or not to do.
True. And you think about it, if the rumors that we're hearing are true and we're going to have some other major debuts, you know, do we got to get streaming into a feud as quickly as possible with these guys, so it's not like people are going to be debuting every couple weeks or whatever, you know, if that's the case? Because we talked about it last week, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, both quote unquote have supposedly signed with AEW, or have signed with somebody, but I'm guessing the people who have the money can sign them. And that kind of brings me to, we could talk about that, but we did last week a lot, and that's still bound. We have not seen anything yet, though. Danger, you did mention that they are selling tickets in Chicago using Punk's name for this next pay-per-view.
Well, they're not using Punk's name, but when they announced that it was going to be called The First Dance after Punk had been playing the Chicago Bulls music on his Twitter page, and then the entire crowd is chanting CM Punk and no one's saying anything to stop them from saying that, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen in Chicago on Rampage on their second edition.
Yeah,
the second. And Darby Allin also alluded to it in an interview as well.
Yeah,
It's going to be really cool. I guess I don't know. Like, they have three shows in Chicago like a week after that too. That I part of me kind of wishes this would have just happened with like the Dynamite leading up to All Out, and book the United Center for a couple of months from now or something, but whatever. It's going to be exciting to see. I mean, just the fact that they're going to run a building that big. I mean, WWE doesn't even run the United Center. They've ran it like twice or whatever all time. That's still another 5,000 seats larger than the old Rosemont Horizon. So it'll be exciting.
I will say AEW sold over 10,000 tickets, and it's not even on sale to general public yet. So, I mean, you know, it gives you an idea. They said they can fit up to 22,428 with standing room only. So we'll see. You know, who knows, you know.
Well, and for the Chicagoans, after that announcement too, well, okay, not an announcement again. Mm-hmm. After the things came out even more about Punk, the All Out tickets, which immediately sold out. Now All Out tickets, if you want to get one from StubHub or one of those places, you got to pay like $300+ for the cheapest seat in the building. Like, it is a hot ticket right now.
Yeah, and then
hotter than any wrestling ticket in like decades.
Sure. And so I brought that up because WWE had a press conference this past week on their second quarter numbers for the year, and of course, as always, the whole McMahon family was there, but as always, Vince takes questions. And one of the questions he was asked by one of the journalists, and I mean, journalist is in quotes because, I mean, you know, we're journalists too, so I put it in quotes as well. But one of the journalists asked him, Vince, you know, AEW is investing in talent, you know, and they wanted to get his opinion on that. You know, are they building, you know, they're building up a great core of wrestlers for a good run? And Vince McMahon immediately comes back and says that WCW did a better job, you know, even though he never gave WCW a credit one day when they were going head to head. But he said WCW was in a much better spot because they had Ted Turner, la, la, la. He proceeds to say that they're not our competition. Everybody's our competition. Everyone, you know, they use that same old story they've been saying for 20 years that, you know, Dancing with the Stars is our competition. Monday Night Football is our competition. And now he's, and so he's basically just, you know, poo-pooing AEW, saying, you know, I don't care what they're doing. You know, they're not anything that I should worry about. What do you guys think about that, those statements from him that came out this past week?
I mean, technically part of his statement is accurate because they're not competition, because in my mind, AEW is a wrestling and entertainment organization, whereas WWE is entertainment. But for them to not be bothered by the momentum that you can see AEW gaining, and the fact that they're probably not salty about them getting Punk, but the thought of Daniel Bryan not re-signing with WWE and opting to sign with AEW, for them to say that they don't consider him competition, or, you know, that they're not concerned, is bogus.
There's no way that Vince isn't scared, and he should be scared, but we all know that competition makes everybody better. So it's only going to mean the more steam AEW gets, the more WWE is going to try. But I think we are very close to getting to a point where we have a week where Dynamite beats Raw in the ratings. I think it's going to happen very soon.
I think it's exciting. I think his eyes would be opened if the shows were going head to head, him, Raw, you know, his number one show versus their number one show. Listen, AEW cleaned house on NXT when they were going head to head. So I'm, you know, seriously, and that's why they moved in. And I don't think you ever heard a peep out of him about that. But I think that, and maybe that's not the real reason, but maybe that was one of the reasons they moved. I'm not going to say that was the main reason, but it's always better for us wrestling fans anyways when you can get these shows.
It's the main reason.
Okay.
In my opinion, it's the main reason.
Okay. Well, I just say, as wrestling fans, we get 4 days of wrestling now instead of, like, you know, just, you know, two at the same time on one channel. So, but, you know, I think that, you know, yeah, I think, you know, he's not going to put over his competition in a press conference. You know, that's by far the, you know, smart thing to do as a wrestler and as a promoter. So I just, you know, a lot of people,
you have to remember, Vince is a 75-year-old man who's never watched any other wrestling than his own. He didn't watch WCW when it was competition. And, you know, WCW did have the guy who owned the station running the shows and all that kind of stuff with Ted Turner. Vince probably honestly believes what he said. He probably 100% honestly believes what he says, that AEW is not competition. He probably knows nothing about what's going on over there, other than someone probably told him that there's a good chance Daniel Bryan and CM Punk signed. He probably has no idea anything else other than that that's going on. The people below him might, but Vince probably has no idea what's going on at all.
I agree. 222-1280, star 1280, if you have an opinion on this. And it was just a very flippant remark, and it was during a press conference, and I never take anything too serious from what they talk about. But, you know, I think that the state of wrestling is getting healthier, it seems like, every week at least. And really, if AEW is going to keep pulling these over million crowds, I can imagine maybe someday they would go up against maybe a SmackDown or a Raw. If you wanted to throw a little test out there and see, who people are going to watch and who are they going to DVR and watch back later. So I thought,
would we have ever expected 20 years ago that SmackDown would consistently be beating Raw in the ratings? I don't know if I ever thought we were going to get to that point.
Yeah, me neither.
And we've been there for, 2 years now almost?
Yeah. To be fair, right. SmackDown is on network TV now. We didn't think SmackDown would ever be on Fox.
Whether it's on network TV or not, it's still a heck of a better show than Monday Night Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. So,
yeah. The one quick thing I just wanted to say, in terms of this, like, whole AEW and building stars and whatever and stuff, the one thing that AEW is so popular right now, partially because they listen to their fans, and talking about making stars and stuff like that, the one thing that I think AEW is doing really well is stuff like, whether it's Nick Gage, New Japan stars, Jeff Cobb, Matt Cardona, a lot of people, Warhorse, whatever. They're bringing in people who don't necessarily need to be signed to 3-year contracts, but they know that they're going to get a response. People are going to tune in. There are going to be people who tune in to see Juventud Guerrera on Wednesday night who don't necessarily need to see him every week for the next 3 years, but they're going to love to see that appearance. And that's something that WWE doesn't do too much of, those like one-off or bring a guy in for a couple weeks and stuff. And I think it's a good way to balance when right now you only have currently 2 hours of real TV a week. Obviously, that's going to change. But that's something that I really liked that they're doing, is they're listening to the people and figuring out like who they want to see and giving the fans what they want, as opposed to WWE, who sometimes, like, and it seems like they try to do against that to like make the fans wait and always, I don't know, whatever.
Not only that, but
it's something that's fun.
Yeah.
Not only that, but they're also allowing themselves to bring in other people for extra exposure. I mean, who's to say that someone who may watch AEW all the time, but they hear Juventud Guerrero. Okay. So they see him. Now they watch. Then they see the product. Now they might be hooked. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, wrestling fans watch a lot of wrestling, but not everybody watches everything.
That's true. You know what? The interesting thing is, I want to see Orange Cassidy and Juventud Guerrero tag, because you could have the orange juice. Sorry. Okay. On that note, we're going to go to break. Sorry, I closed the house down. We got a lot more to talk about. Sasha Banks re-debuted. What's going on with Keith Lee? And NXT on Sci-Fi for a couple of weeks? That's kind of weird. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports. Oh, but I also got a text I'm going to come back with on the flip side, too. So if you want to text us, 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. We'll be back after this on Fox Sports 1280. Speaking of feeling the pain, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with Ferbs, DC Dan Cole, Danger Boys, taking a lead, and Rob Sanderson. And
I feel the pain every time I hear the lyric, they don't want none.
They don't want none. It's like a triple negative almost. Does that mean they... Nevertheless, that was supposed to be James Storm's music originally when he was going to come into WWE. James Storm, you might know from Impact Wrestling. Every once in a while, he's on there at least. But welcome back to the show. I just want to remind you that next Saturday we're going to be out at Salvatore's at the Garage Door for UFC 265. Starts at 10 p.m. There is no cover charge. Come sit, hang out with us. It'll be a lot of fun. So I've alluded a couple times to. I'll read the text. We got a phone call, and then I'll get to my Keith Lee complaint. So I got a text from somebody. Shouldn't the Jericho Nick Gage match have been on pay-per-view? That way they could have gone all out with the blood and all the plunder, because I really don't think it belonged on TV, especially in a primetime slot. Interesting. Yeah, you know, I mean,
it's a good point. I mean, I don't know if they're building to Jericho and MJF at the actual pay-per-view, since they only do 4 pay-per-views a year, but I have to believe there were some Turner executives that are just like, what the heck is happening on my gosh darn network? This is ridiculous.
And I don't think Jericho was going to get bloody enough to make it really sell pay-per-view buys anyway. So I thought it was fine.
I mean, and to be fair too, you know, all indications and reports are that Tony Khan addressed with the network what was going to be taking place. So if they really were going to have an issue with it, I would have assumed that they would have put a stop to it somehow.
It seems like only Domino's had a problem, apparently.
And again, Domino's, shut your mouth.
I was going to say, there's already been reports.
Cook your pizzas a little longer.
Enjoy the free publicity.
Yeah, okay, so... Yeah, I know they really should have absorbed it, you know, and maybe sent pizzas to... I don't know. Nevertheless, I got another text before we go to the phones. Is The Rock going to wrestle Roman at WrestleMania? Well, that's the rumor. It was supposed to happen last year or the year before, maybe last year. So they've been waiting for crowds so they can have crowds. That's why Dwayne Johnson did not do it before, because they couldn't do it when they were in shutdown. So, yes, the answer is yes. Rock will be wrestling. At first I heard it was going to be a tag match. I'm not sure how they're going to get there. But we'll find out by the time Survivor Series comes where it's going to go. But 222-1280 is the number you can text us at. And we also got a call. It's Brian. What's up, Brian?
Hi, guys. How are you? Hi, guys. Have you heard about the new AEW TV show coming on on the 13th called AEW, what is it?
Rampage?
Yeah, Rampage.
Yeah, no, why don't you tell us about it? Tell me about it.
AEW's been promoting their new show, AEW Rampage, Friday nights on TNT, not this Friday, the 13th, obviously the 13th of August. It's going to be on Friday night.
10 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Oh, 10 o'clock. Yeah. I'm thinking it was going to be 8 o'clock like they would do on Wednesday night.
No, they're doing 10 o'clock, which is perfect because if you're a SmackDown fan, you can immediately switch over to Rampage or not watch SmackDown at all and just, you know, go out and have a nice long dinner, come home and turn on TV at 10 o'clock and watch Rampage.
Yeah, and I have a question. You guys were mentioning about Daniel Bryan going to AEW. Now, what about his wife? Would they be going to AEW as well?
Well, I mean, I think WWE might demand a divorce. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't.
I hear you out there.
I'm just kidding. Okay, you listen off the air because I'm just going to be a smarty aleck about it anyway.
Can they script and have him killed off on Total Bellas?
he was out planting stuff and he's disappeared. But I have no idea what. Yeah,
unfortunate composting incident.
Composting. No, I'm not. There's nothing for sure saying he's going anywhere. But we, you know, I think we have stronger feelings that Punk is definitely going to be showing up in AEW soon.
Is it worse or better if Punk and Bryan show up at very close times? Like, they're going to get a ton of attention if they both show up, but I feel like if you spread that out, it could be better. What if Bryan doesn't show up and it's just Punk? Are people going to be disappointed even though them getting Punk on his own is plenty good enough?
Yeah.
Obviously,
we want Bryan there too. I do, at least. But
well, because Brian's been working in creative too, so I mean, you got to think this guy. You know, I mean, he for creative wise, you know, what he's gone through in his own personal career. You know, I think that experience would definitely could help with anybody else. You know, if that's the avenue he goes into being part, you know, creative as well. But what were you gonna say, Ferbs?
I was gonna say I don't think they are going to show up close to each other. I think it's going to be spread out. Punk first, obviously, Daniel Bryan down the line. I mean, there was rumors of potentially at the New York City show, I mean, which that's still a month apart, so it's not too far, but, you know, maybe we get graced with good presence in Rochester, New York.
So that's right, September 29th. I hope you guys are ready for a show here in Rochester. I know, we're all excited about it. Hopefully you got your tickets or from, 18 months ago because they're still good, you know. DC, you going to come up for that?
I mean,
I know it's a long
depending
drive.
It is a long drive, it which is. I'm getting ready to make soon. But maybe if I can find some cheap airfare, but it also depends on what the spreadnecks are up to.
Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about Keith Lee. I like that, spreadnecks.
I have not heard that before. Wow.
You're welcome.
So let's talk about Keith Lee. Keith Lee comes back, big surprise 2 weeks ago, and loses to Bobby Lashley. And then, of course, comes out and takes on Karrion Kross, who lost 2 weeks ago as well. And Karrion Kross gets put up over Keith Lee. I don't get it. I mean, if we had an idea why Keith Lee was gone for so long, I could understand if this was like a punishment kind of booking. Or, I mean, because he's really not jobber to the stars. When he left, he was like, you know, the man. He was like super on a high, going up, and everything was great for him. And now he comes back to
win the U.S. championship.
Yeah, he comes back and he drops two straight matches. I don't get it.
He's come out and said on social media that he will announce why he was gone, but he's trying to take his time. So it makes me think it was probably something health related that just kind of they actually kept under wraps. But as far as Keith Lee taking two straight losses, I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're building it up for an eventual big heel turn. Normally a bunch of losses could turn into that. But one rumor that I did see, which was kind of interesting, and this involves Kross with him not being with Scarlett, was him to take a lot of losses, Scarlett come in, get him remotivated, have him start winning again, kind of like what they did with Zelina Vega and Andrade back on NXT 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think that, but I think that also was done for Andrade because he didn't speak the language. I don't think
right.
I don't think it's a problem with Kross. I mean, I just
no,
you know, but they did.
No, but again, I think it kind of builds. I mean, you can do some sort of storyline along with it, which could add something to it. Because besides Scarlett, Kross is pretty boring.
But then again, to that point, so if the long-term plan right now is to have Karrion Kross go on a losing streak, why sacrifice Keith Lee to him?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I don't get that.
Well, like, right, so that obviously that changed.
Supposedly contracted COVID, but you can't tell me there isn't another person you could have put in that ring that it wouldn't have hurt if Kross got the win, but it also would have helped keep that story going for someone to have gotten a win over Kross.
Right. No, I completely understand. I was just saying what the original reports of what I saw. So obviously it's different now. That's why I'm kind of confused on what's going on with the whole Kross and Keith Lee situations on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah,
my thing with Kross is I think you can do that type of a story with people who have more of a repertoire of stuff. Kross is just like a big bruiser that it doesn't make sense for him to go on a losing streak. Like, he should just be beating people up, keep him strong. Like, an underdog type of person, sure, you can do that kind of storyline with, I think, a little better, but not somebody who looks like they should be able to overpower people.
Right.
And for some reason, that kind of triggers my mind a little bit in terms of, like, another thought process I know we talked off-air about a little bit is Hangman Adam Page losing this week and maybe not being the challenger for All Out. And I personally am, I hate to say it, I'm in favor of that because I think it's more about the chase for Page. And as excited as the crowd would be if he wins the title in a month, think about how excited it can be if you build it up for another 4 months or whatever the case is. Like, once you get to that point, what else is there left for him to do?
Right. You're right.
Exactly. This,
go ahead.
This makes him a bigger baby face, if anything. I mean, just like you said, a lot of times with the baby faces, the chase for the title is better than the actual championship reign. So Stone Cold
Steve Austin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stone Cold, I mean, and that's why I think of Karrion Kross, I think of Stone Cold Steve Austin, because they have similar looks and whatnot, and maybe even styles. Adam Page down twice to the One Winged Angel. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, do people want to see that again? Probably not. Not anytime too soon. So,
no, and I don't think you can take him back. I don't think you can see him take back-to-back losses that soon against the same opponent. You know, he'll go off and win his matches again, build up, and then maybe it could. I mean, it could be another 4, maybe 8 months until we see Adam Page with a title.
So I do want
to listen to how those crowds go nuts for Adam Page these days. Yeah. He is super over, but I guarantee if you let this go 4 months from now, keep it going like this, those crowds are still going to be twice as loud as they are now.
The way the light, they introduced him on AEW this past week, where he was the middle light that went on, that was beautiful. But I do want to mention that Karrion Kross lost his first match to Jeff Hardy, and maybe they had more plans for Jeff Hardy, but Jeff Hardy, not officially through WWE, but his people were saying that he came in contact with COVID-19, and so that's why he wasn't able to be there last Monday. So, maybe that was just, you know, something that they had to do to fill the space. I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, Kross does get the win back, grabs the belt, and runs back. But our man, Keith Lee, is the one who's the loser in the long run on this whole thing. So on that note, we're going to go to break. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Some real quick news before we get back into talking. Sasha Banks showed up last night. Looked like she was going to be a face. And then backstabbed Bianca Belair at the end of the night with a backstabber. And looks like we have a match made for SummerSlam from that. Goldberg is going to be showing up on Monday Night Raw. So if you're a fan, tune in. If you're not a fan, tune out. Lucha Libre legend Jose Alvarado Nieves, who wrestled as Super Porky, passed away this past week, this past Monday at the age of 58. Young guy still. Crazy. Natalya got injured on this past Monday night during the middle of the match. They were defending the tag titles, and something happened between Doudrop and Natalya kind of landed weird on her ankle knee, and she had an MRI. Everything's going to be okay. She's going to have to take off a few weeks, but it looked much worse when you see the pictures of people helping her up the aisle. That was pretty sad. Some other news. Let's see. So I want to talk about this in the last segment. We only have a couple minutes, but Vegas has just come out with a new mandatory mask mandate for anywhere that is in an arena, I believe, inside are technically out. And I guess SummerSlam, they may be forcing people to wear masks in Vegas because of the rate has just shot up through the roof. 80% positivity COVID-19 cases in Clark County. So is this going to hurt the people going to this show, or possibly even the production of SummerSlam, if they're going to all be in masks? What do you guys think? This is kind of like not what they wanted to happen. Nobody wants everyone in the crowd to be in masks, I'm sure. But
I mean, who knows whether they'll follow the rules, because supposedly people were supposed to be wearing masks at WrestleMania and nobody wore them anyway. So even though Florida had loose restrictions, who's to say that Vegas is going to be any better once they're inside the arena?
It's hard to police a massive crowd of 50,000 people.
That's true. And I guess this arena can convert to indoors, I guess. It has a roof, the retractable roof on it. So they could make it an outdoors by opening it up. And sure. And maybe that would change the rule.
Las Vegas in August. Open arena. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, you're true. You got to think about that. Yeah, definitely don't want to be outside for that. Some other news. Upper Deck cards are putting out a line of All Elite Wrestling cards. First time in this company's ever done wrestling cards. So that's going to be pretty cool. It's coming out in November. So you're going to be looking for it. It's going to have everybody, which is pretty cool. I think maybe I'm going to contact them, see if I can get some to give away on the show, which would be awesome. And then maybe put them in my back pocket. No, I'm kidding. I don't collect anything.
Super exciting for us collectors.
Yes, for collectors is definitely. And so get this, one last piece of news. Cain Velasquez was returning to the AAA Lucha Libre promotion. Remember Cain Velasquez in that brief, if you blinked your eyes, you missed him in WWE? Looks like, maybe it had the knee surgery that was required for him to actually get, to be okay, because his knee was messed up from MMA. But it looks like he's going back to remember, he came out with Ray, and I'm kind of hoping for him to be, if he wants to get into wrestling. So I think that is really cool. Tonight, Impact Wrestling Homecoming is going on. And this is really cool. It's only $10 on Fight TV. So if you pay $10, you're going to get a whole card of wrestling tonight, Impact Wrestling. And the main event is going to be, we got lots of things going on. Josh Alexander versus Black Taurus, as I think they say it. Tarusa. Diener versus Willie Mack. Hernandez and Alicia Edwards versus Deanna Peraza and a mystery partner. Ooh, there goes the mystery partners. Petey Williams and Jordan Grace versus Cardona and Chelsea Green. Chelsea coming out with her cast on. Crazy Steve and Rosemary versus Falala Ba and Tasha Steele. It's going to be fun. If you got nothing going on and you have $10 to burn, man, definitely check it out on Fight TV. The lineup is definitely worth watching. It'll be a lot of fun. I want to thank you guys for another week of pro wrestling talk. I think we got about everything in I wanted to get in. Didn't talk much.
ESW tonight in Buffalo if you want to go to a show locally. Yeah. Ah, that's right. Riverworks, 7 o'clock.
Can I say real quick, Cash? Yeah. I need more Dalton Castle on game shows.
Dalton Castle. Oh, yeah. That was beautiful, man.
He killed it. All right. That was especially RJ City in the Fast Money. Congrats.
We'll see you next week, folks.